Hi folks, this is Tony for aminutetomidnight.com. Please make sure you subscribe to us at aminutetomidnight.com. Go down the right hand side of the webpage and enter your email address where it says subscribe to blog. In this video, I want to cover something which is not hardly receiving a mention in the mainstream media, but the truth is it's huge and it should be ringing warning bells to people that big changes are coming. On March 27th, an Economic Collapse blog, Michael Snyder wrote, "We are in so much trouble. What we are witnessing is truly the beginning of the end. In recent months, I focused a lot on the economic implosion that is now taking place, and I'm going to cover that. That's the main topic in this video. But what we are facing is so much broader than that. Our society is literally falling to pieces all around us, and now World War III has begun. Many regard the war that has erupted on the other side of the globe as just a conflict between Ukraine and Russia. But the truth is that it is really a proxy war between the United States and Russia. And since neither side seems much interested in diplomacy at this point, this proxy war could eventually become a shooting war between the two greatest nuclear powers on the entire planet." Last Saturday, Joe Biden shocked the entire world when he stated that Vladimir Putin cannot remain in power. "A dictator bent on rebuilding an empire will never erase the people's love for liberty," Biden said at the end of a sweeping speech in Poland. "Ukraine will never be a victory for Russia, for free people refuse to live in a world of hopelessness and darkness." That was a call for regime change in Russia. The Biden administration officials are trying to walk back Biden's comments, but the damage has already been done. There has been in recent days a bit of a ramping up of the rhetoric regarding nuclear first strike. Biden refuses to rule out first strike use of nuclear weapons under extreme circumstances in dramatic reversal of his campaign vow after Putin's invasion of the Ukraine. That's from the Daily Mail. And the Kremlin again raised the specter of the use of nuclear weapons in the war with Ukraine as Russian troops struggled to hold a key city in the south of the country. Dmitry Medvedev, a former Russian president who is deputy chairman of the country's Security Council, said Moscow could strike against an enemy that used only conventional weapons, while Vladimir Putin's defense minister claimed nuclear readiness was a priority. And that's from shtfplan.com. Now, whether or not the war potentially goes nuclear, there is something else that is happening behind the scenes that isn't receiving a lot of mainstream media coverage at all, but it's huge, and I'm just going to explain what that is. How many of you remember Gaddafi? The real reason behind Gaddafi's murder was the Libyan president wanted to create a gold-backed dinar and to stop using the US dollar for oil transactions and basically circumvent the US control of the oil industry. And he was murdered as a result, taken out, his regime overthrown. Gaddafi launched the Gold Dinar Project, and other major African governments were ready to support him in this project. And Gaddafi was taken out because NATO wanted to neutralize the potential for an African gold currency supported by Libyan oil reserves. Now, fast forward to March 2022. Remember Biden's comment about Putin needing to be removed from power? Well, I'm going to take you across now to an article again written by Michael Snyder at the Economic Collapse blog. "The ruble, the dollar, and the price of gold. Who is really winning the economic chess game? Russia has made some moves that are going to change the global financial system forever. When the conflict in Ukraine originally erupted, the US immediately attempted to crash the value of the Russian currency. Those attempts were successful for a few days, but now the value of the ruble relative to the US dollar is almost all the way back to where it was before the start of the war. This has absolutely stunned many of the experts because they thought that US sanctions would absolutely cripple Russia. So what happened? Well, it turns out that Russians have made some very savvy moves that have turned the tables on the Biden administration. For one thing, Russia has started to demand payment in rubles when it sells natural gas to non-friendly nations. A lot of countries in Western Europe are quite upset about this, but they really have no choice because they are exceedingly dependent on Russian gas. So from this point forward, Western powers are actually going to be forced to help prop up the value of the ruble. Russia wants unfriendly countries to pay for Russian natural gas in rubles. This is a directive from President Vladimir Putin as he attempts to leverage his country's in-demand resources to counter a barrage of Western sanctions. I have decided to implement a series of measures to switch payments. We'll start with that for our natural gas supplies to so-called unfriendly countries into Russian rubles, Putin said in a televised government meeting, adding that the trust in the dollar and euro had been compromised by the West's seizure of Russian assets. Secondly, the Russians have decided that US dollars will no longer be accepted as payment for anything that they sell to other nations. Zavalny, the head of the Russian parliament, says that US currency has lost all interest for us. Zavalny's main point, even though it has been mostly overlooked, if other countries want to buy oil, gas, and other resources or anything else from Russia, he said, let them pay either in hard currency, and listen to this, and this is gold for us, or pay as it is convenient for us, this is the national currency. In other words, Russia is happy to accept your national currency, yuan, lira, ringgits or whatever, or rubles or hard currency. And for them, that no longer means US dollars. It means gold. The dollar ceases to be a means of payment for us. It has lost all interest for us, Zavalny added, calling the greenback no better than candy wrappers. Michael Snyder says, this is huge, but it isn't being discussed much by the corporate media in the United States. The Russians aren't just saying they do not recognize US dollars as a reserve currency any longer. That would be bad enough. At this point, they are actually saying that they no longer accept US dollars as a form of payment at all. Wow. Thirdly, the Central Bank of Russia has fixed the value of the ruble to the price of gold for at least the next 3 months. The Russian Central Bank will restart buying gold from banks and will pay a fixed price of 5,000 rubles per gram between 28th of March and June 30th, the bank said on Friday. But you won't hear about this on CNN or MSNBC. This is a move that could potentially change everything. Once upon a time, the value of the US dollar was tied to gold, and that helped the US dollar become the dominant currency of the entire planet. But then Nixon took us off the gold standard in the early 1970s, and things have gone haywire ever since, Michael Snyder says. Now, Russia has linked the value of the ruble to the price of gold, and many believe this is going to shake things up. The article goes on to show how this could create global financial instability and what could happen. There's some examples of it, which I won't cover, but you can read it in the article. But without a doubt, things have not played out the way that the Biden administration officials were hoping. They hoped the US sanctions would crush the ruble, the Russian financial system, and the entire Russian economy. Instead, the Russians have been able to successfully prop up the value of the ruble and have made moves that directly threaten the dominance of the US dollar. No matter what happens with the ceasefire talks, I expect the United States and Russia to continue this economic conflict for the foreseeable future. This is what Vladimir Putin has said. Let me reiterate, the whole global economy and trade have suffered a major blow, as did the trust in the US dollar as the main reserve currency. The illegitimate freezing of some of the currency reserves of the Bank of Russia marks the end of the reliability of the so-called first-class assets. In fact, the US and the EU have defaulted on their obligations to Russia. Now everybody knows that financial reserves can simply be stolen. And many countries in the immediate future may begin, I am sure this is what will happen, to convert their paper and digital assets into real reserves of raw materials, land, food, and gold and other real assets. An article found at strangesounds.org, which originally appeared at RT, says a new financial world order is coming and the West won't have much say anymore. A new financial world order will be negotiated in the world and the West won't have the main say in it anymore, ex-Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has claimed. The hellish sanctions imposed on Russia by the US, EU and their allies over the conflict in Ukraine have failed to cripple the country but are instead returning to the West like a boomerang, Medvedev, a former Russian president who is now the deputy chairman of the Russian Security Council, wrote on Telegram. This is hurtful for our friends in Europe and overseas. But while the West continues its fruitless efforts to restrict Russia, the world is gradually moving toward a new logic of global economic relations toward upgrading the financial system, he said. According to Medvedev, the US and the EU have tarnished their reputation by blocking the reserves of the Russian Central Bank. It is impossible to trust those who freeze the accounts of other states, steal other people's business assets and personal possessions, compromising the principles of sanctity of private property. After the outbreak of the conflict in the Ukraine in late February, the US and EU froze nearly half of Russia's foreign currency reserves worth $300 billion. Washington created a special task force, KleptoCapture, to oversee the implementation of sanctions against Moscow and seize the assets of individuals and entities who violated them. Confidence in reserve currencies is fading like the morning mist, and the prospect of abandoning the dollar and euro in this role does not seem like such an unrealistic prospect anymore, he said. The era of regional currencies is coming. Russia said that from March 31st it will only accept payments for gas in rubles from unfriendly countries, which include the US and EU. Meanwhile, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said the process of switching to ruble payments for Russian gas exports will take time and won't be immediately this week, despite the March 31st deadline set by the presidential order. The process is more drawn out in time for technical reasons. China and Saudi Arabia have been discussing switching to the yuan for their oil trade. No matter if they want it or not, they'll have to negotiate a new financial order, Medvedev said. And the decisive voice will then be those countries which have a strong and advanced economy, public health, finances, and a reliable monetary system, and not those who endlessly inflate their public debt, issuing more and more pieces of paper into circulation which aren't backed by national wealth. Folks, I've said on a number of occasions, Vladimir Putin is not against the New World Order, neither is China. It's not a case of being against the New World Order, it's a case of vying for positions in the New World Order and the shape of the New World Order, and that is what this is largely all about and the role that individual countries will play. Michael Pippenberg at goldswitzerland.com writes, "How the West was lost, a faltering world reserve currency, from rigged to fail to just plain failing." This hard reality has less to do with COVID or the war in Ukraine and more to do with one simple force which euphoric markets and clueless leaders have been ignoring for decades, namely debt. Debt destroys nations, financial systems, markets, and currencies, always and every time. Further down the article, he says, "Western financial sanctions in response to the war in Ukraine have a way of doing as much damage to the trigger puller as to the intended target. In simplest terms, freezing one country's FX reserves and SWIFT transactions are a way of frightening other counterparties and not just the intended targets. Imagine, for example, if your bank accounts were frozen for any reason. Would you then trust the bank that froze your accounts down the road once the issue was resolved? Would you recommend that bank to others? Well, the world has been watching Western powers effectively freeze Putin's assets, and regardless of whether you agree or disagree with such measures, other countries, not all of which are bad actors, are thinking about switching banks or at least dollars. If so, the US just shot itself in the foot while aiming for Putin. As previously warned, the Western sanctions are simply pushing Russia and China together. Saudi Arabia, like many other countries, for example India and China, are certainly asking themselves if a similar move could be made against them in the future, like what's happened to Russia. Thus, it's no coincidence that they too are looking east rather than west for future deals, and Russia could use its new Chinese currencies to buy everything from nuclear plants to gold bars. The Saudis are looking to trade oil for Chinese yuan with China instead of just using the US dollar, as has been the case up until now.
With regard to food shortages, yes, we did talk about food shortages. And it's going to be real. The price of these sanctions is not just imposed upon Russia. It's imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including European countries and our country as well. And because both Russia and Ukraine have been the breadbasket of Europe in terms of wheat, for example. Just give one example.
Food shortages, Biden said. Quote, they're going to be real. Once again, in case you missed it, to repeat, food shortages, not in Sudan, in Cincinnati, in Reno, in Spokane, in Norfolk, and of course in our big cities too, where not a single person who was born here has any idea what a food shortage is. Our problem has always been having too much food. Now we won't have enough. We know that because the President of the United States just told us that on camera. So what is this going to mean? How do food shortages affect a country? Well, if you're interested, go online and read about it. All of recorded history will answer your question. A food shortage is not like deciding to skip dessert. It's not a diet. It's not voluntary. A food shortage is different. It's scary. Food shortages topple governments. They turn moderates into revolutionaries. A food shortage is a big deal. You don't want one. But now we're getting one.
Folks, okay, so the reality is that we're already seeing inflation at levels that we haven't seen in a long time. You've got supply chain issues that haven't been seen before. There are empty shelves in supermarkets already in America, and the same here in New Zealand and other places. Global food supply shortages, it's no accident, and price hikes. You got fertilizer price hikes. You've also got climate disruptions, all sorts of things that are going on, and really the writing is on the wall. If you haven't already started to prepare for this time's getting worse, and you really need to be doing it. Look at what you can do to prepare with food and water and other things, and get your money out of constantly just trusting in worthless paper currencies. Look at hard assets, gold and silver, and if you own rural land and that type of thing, hang on to it. I'm not here to advise people exactly what to do, but trust in God, pray for guidance and wisdom, as in the book of James says in chapter 1, if you ask for wisdom without doubting, then God will give it to you. And we must do that if we are going to be able to get through these difficult times ahead, I believe, to start trusting God and asking Him for wisdom, as it says in James chapter 1. And really, don't bury your head in the sand. Get your spiritual lives in order. We all need to be doing that. And we all need to be physically preparing, I believe, because things are not going to get better. They're only going to get more and more difficult. And countries that have opulent lifestyles are going to be the furthest to fall. So that's pretty much all I wanted to cover in this video. Please make sure you like it and share it. It's always much appreciated. Minute to Midnight's run 100% by donations too. If you want to donate, you can always do that at our website, and it's always greatly appreciated at aminutetomidnight.com, which we also want you to subscribe to, because our videos get heavily censored on other platforms, and that's the safest place that you'll know you'll always find our videos and articles, aminutetomidnight.com. Subscribing to our blog, of course, is free. And the music used, I've written, played and recorded. That's it for this video. Hopefully we'll be back, God willing, with another one before too long.